My lesson this evening will carry on with Donnie's. Donnie's been giving us a series on the family. It's been a good study so far. He's laid a lot of groundwork, and I think it worked in just as he said, as a good eye, as a not planned, but just happened to be that today's Father's Day. So it was the perfect opportunity to discuss the roles of the family. And I'd like to finish up tonight, hopefully supplementing his lesson and bringing up a good example of a father. Maybe taking some time and looking at that. I know a lot of times in life we like to look at others, you know, for guidance, look at others for example. We have to be careful of who we choose as example. We're not here tonight or today to worship the Father. We're here to worship our God, but the Father is definitely something that the God gave us. The family is an institution that He set in place from the very beginning. He knew it was bad from the very beginning for man to be alone. And for the purposes of nature and whatnot, He set this institution of marriage in the first thing. The family, all this structure was set in place from the very beginning. So let's take this evening in a little time and look at a good father and compare it to today. Compare it to our Father, our spiritual Father, our Father in heaven, and make some good applications on that. And I think it'll go along with Donnie's lessons really good. Abraham was someone that I looked at, and I'll be honest with you, I guess as much as we looked at Abraham and his guidance, I never really took an in-depth, lengthy look at Abraham as a father. But he's a good example in a lot of different areas that I think's good for us these days to look at. I think Abraham was a good father because, number one, we see that he was always present with his family. He was there. We see that he was a protective of his family. He was a protective father that oversaw his stuff. He was a providing father, a wealthy man. But he provided for his own, and he was a faithful father, which is the best example that we can have from a father. I hope that as we follow him as an example, it will help us look at ourselves in areas to improve in. I don't know about the rest of you, but we always constantly need to be growing and improving and checking ourselves, weighing ourselves in the balance to God's Word to find the areas that we need to beef up and we need to strengthen. Because if we're sitting idle, we're backing up. We're falling away. We're declining and dying. We need to be growing. And let's look at Abraham with that thought in mind that where can I better myself? Where can I grow as a father? C.L. read for us from Genesis chapter 18, 17 through 19. If you back up to chapter 16, the context of this scripture was in the, the eve of the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah. It was a very evil time, a time when God was preparing to exact justice upon the evils of the world, the evils of these towns, this area. And He comes to Abraham at this time. And just his approaching Abraham or coming to Abraham says a lot about him. As he's about to destroy these cities of Sodom and the cities of Gomorrah, he comes to Abraham to tell him about this. He tells us there that he does so because he says, the Lord said in verse 17, "Shall I hide from Abraham what I'm doing? Since Abraham shall surely become a great mighty nation, all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. I know him, in order that he will command his children and his household after him, and they will keep his ways to do righteousness." He saw Abraham as this righteous father, and he respected Abraham. So he comes to him with these plans that he has. James 2, verse 23. Here in James we see that in verse 23 of chapter 2, "And the scripture was fulfilled which says, Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God." I think that's one of the greatest compliments we could ever be paid. Abraham was a friend to God. Other persons in the Bible, David, a man after God's own heart. These are great compliments that these men were paid to show us they truly had the heart that God would have them to have. They were truly godly men. They were friends of God. And God put great weight on these men's shoulders to serve because He knew their hearts and He knew who they were. So God knew Abraham. He commends Abraham for his righteousness, his faithfulness that he had to him. And I think Abraham sets a very good example for us in these regards. And that's why I'd like to look at him in these four areas that we mentioned. The first one that we mentioned was Abraham was present. To look at today, in the world that we see today, so many families have no fathers. We have a generation now that has dismissed, for the most part, the family. We see a lot in the more populated areas and the cities where the family structure is completely lost. It no longer serves the purpose as we looked at this morning. The bed is defiled. Children are had out of wedlock. Wedlock has no bearing on the family anymore. And it's sad that we see that in the world today. And we all suffer as a society because man withdraws from God's instructions on the family and on the structure of family. He deems another way better. He deems that it's inappropriate and needed these days. So they bypass God. They chose not to know Him in many cases. And in many cases, they choose simply not to follow His guidance when it comes to family. Some fathers are not there for different reasons. Like we spoke of, they simply don't believe in marriage. They don't believe in any of that. Some pursue worldly careers. I know a lot of men who have chose careers that were very financially beneficial to them. But I see them also fall into destructive patterns and watch their families that suffer and crumble under them. I remember very well when I considered going into supervision when I was working before. And I had a very high up-ranking official that told me, he said, I chose to take the same path and to seek supervision, and I find myself in this position. But he said, I'll tell you right now, my family has suffered greatly for this. And his son had suffered greatly from it. And he really felt that he had contributed by his choice of his job. He had really contributed to the downfall of his family. And it was kind of sad. But we see that in the world today, that some pursue worldly careers rather than careers to raise their family and to meet their responsibilities to their family and to God. And that's when it crosses over. Because we can always make these arguments. Well, I'm told that I have to provide. We can always go to another command and try to justify something in another area, but does it fit God's plan? No, it don't. Some pursue extramarital affairs. We see that a lot, don't we? A lot of the families break up from infidelity. Men that decide that they would rather have another person, they seek a better life, a different life outside of their home that they have, and they go abroad, they leave the faithfulness of their spouse, and they go outside of that, neglecting their spouse and their needs, and seeking others that they're not entitled to. Those things that destroy the family. And more simply, the fourth or third example that I had is some simply abandon their families because they think that's the best thing for them. We're in a self-serving generation of entitlement that people feel they have the right to have life the way they want it to be. And we see today that many of these men simply walk away from their families because it's not the best thing they felt for them. They wanted something better for themselves. Regardless of what the cause or the reason, for the men who are not present in their families and not present in their homes, you can't dismiss the fact that collateral damage occurs. I don't care if fornication is the reason and a family's dissolved, there's collateral damage anyway divorce comes into the picture. Divorce is only caused by sin. That's the only thing that causes it. And collateral damage results. It splits the children. When it becomes holidays, we have to divide up times, set times to have here, set times to be there. We double our financial burden. Now we've split. We've got two households to keep up instead of one. There's collateral damage that's going to occur for the rest of everybody who's involved's lives, regardless of how it comes about. We see that Abraham was a good example of that. He never did any of these things. We have to have a lot of respect for Abraham to pull his up from his home, from his security, from his place that he knew provision existed, and leave by faith under God's command. And I have even more respect than we should for him because he took his family with him. He knew the importance. That family has to stay together. It's God's purpose that it be that way. He respected God's order. He respected the structure that God created man to exist in, which was the marriage. He understood his obligations that he had to his family, so he kept them near to him so that he could fulfill them. A good father is always going to be present for his family. I think if you look back, Noah, Isaac, David, Solomon, you could go on forever. Zacharias, there's a lot of good examples that we could think of. However, they had their faults. You know, we know that they were men. They were fallible. But they were present for their families. They knew the importance of being there for their families. Ephesians 6:4, a scripture that we'll refer to a couple times tonight. We did this morning. You'll always hear it in context with the Father. Ephesians 6:4, "And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord." That is the responsibility that we have to the life that we bring into existence in this world. We bring in a life that has an eternal existence, that will spend an eternity somewhere. What a great responsibility that we have in our children. It really humbles you to think about that and should bring to your conscience the importance, the gravity that we teach these children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. They will get this provokement to wrath. That's the world's way. They will get that from the world. The world will teach them that if we don't prepare them to defend against it. We need to be teaching them love, the characteristics of the Christian, how we deal with adversity, how we deal with the trials and the tribulations and the things that Satan throws at us. We have to be there in order to do that. We have to be present with the family to do that. Number four, let us consider also God, our Father, our spiritual Father, in the sense of being present. These are the things that bring me encouragement, bring me hope, should bring us all encouragement. 1 Corinthians 8:6. We're told here, "Yet to us there is one God, the Father, of whom are all things, and we unto Him. And one Lord Jesus Christ, through whom all things, and we through Him." He is our Father. All things that we have are through Him. Ephesians 4:6, instead of 6:4, Ephesians 4:6, we're told, "One God and Father of all, who is over all, and through all, and in all." We have a Father that is there for us always. It's another sobering thought to think that a Creator as great as we serve, and that we can look around and see the attributes around us, and what a great sustainer and provider, how loving and merciful that He is, that He allows us this one-on-one communication with Him through prayer. He allows all these things. He's there for us continuously. He knows the importance of the Father being near. It followed out through His whole plan of salvation. Jesus Christ, in time of His temptation at first, the Holy Spirit was near. We see other times that were very critical times, you see the nearness in the Holy Spirit. You see our Father as always being there to pick us up, to be there for us. And that's what we should look to as fathers ourselves. The second thing to look at is being protective. Again, we find in the world today that many fathers are not a protection to their family. They're not there. But sadly, more than just the neglect of that, many in the world today become even a threat to their very own. And they can do that in more ways than just being a physical threat to their children. One that I thought of when I was noting some things is some allow their children to do anything they want. They go without discipline. You may think, well, what's that got to do with protective? If we were protective of our children, we would see to it that we were watching over our children, not letting them run amiss, unguided, uncorrected, doing anything they want, anytime. Whether we like it or not, we're a parent. God has given us that responsibility, and our responsibility is to protect that child. We're not doing it any favors by allowing it to have its way and to do what it wants to when it wants to. And when we neglect our own responsibility in our children, we risk losing their soul as well. It's just simply people who are unable to say no. They're unable to correct their children. They're unable to protect them from the wiles of the world, to the point that it leads into the child's own destruction. And sadly, literally under this topic, there are those who physically abuse and harm their children instead of protecting them. Abraham was a father that we see something totally different in. Abraham was with his nephew Lot. And in this context that we started out here in chapter 18 of Genesis, this is a time, as we mentioned, that justice is ready to be brought upon Sodom and Gomorrah. And as God takes a look, takes inventory of the situation and prepares for this judgment that He's going to pass on them, He shares with Abraham this thing, and Abraham realizes the gravity of this moment, but because shortly before this time, Lot himself had fell into the perils of the world. And we see what Abraham did when his family came under threat. Look at Genesis 14 back up there just a little bit. Let's skip a little bit leading up to the war here, but let's look at the war that's taking place in Genesis 14. We'll start in verse 8. It says, "And the king of Sodom, the king of Gomorrah, the king of Admah, and the king of Zeboah, and the king of Bela, that is Zoar, went out and joined together in battle in the valley of Siddim against Chedorlaomer, king of Elam, Tidal, king of nations, Amraphel, king of Shinar, and Arioch, king of Elzar, four kings against five. Now the valley of Siddim was full of asphalt pits, and the kings of Sodom and Gomorrah fled. Some fled there, and the remainder fled to the mountains. And they took all the goods of Sodom and Gomorrah and their provisions and went their way." That was the spoils of the war. Verse 12, "They also took Lot, Abraham's brother's son, who dwelt in Sodom, and his goods, and departed. Then one who had escaped came and told Abram the Hebrew, for he dwelt by the timber tree of Mamre, the Amorite, brother of Eshcol and brother of Aner, and they were allies with Abram. Now when Abram heard that his brother was taken captive, he armed his 318 trained servants who were born in his own house and went in pursuit as far as Dan. He divided his forces against him by night, and he and his servants attacked him and pursued them as far as Haboth, which is north of Damascus. So he brought back all the goods and also brought back his brother Lot and his goods, as well as the women and the people. We see here that he exhibited this sense of protection that he had for his family. It wasn't just in a time of physical threat that he had this protection. You have to recall Isaac, when Isaac prepared, you know, to enter into marriage himself, and it came time to pick him a wife. His protective, fatherly characteristics came into play there in the sense that he sent his servant. If you look at Genesis 24, Abraham sent his servant. Start verse 1 of chapter 24 of Genesis. It says, now Abraham was old, well advanced in age, and the Lord had blessed Abraham in all things. So Abraham said to the oldest servant of his house, who ruled over all that he had, please put your hand under my thigh, and I will make you swear by the Lord, the God of heaven and the God of earth, that you will not take a wife for my son from the daughters of the Canaanites among whom I dwell. But you shall go to my country and to my family and take a wife for my son Isaac. And the servant said to him, perhaps the woman will not be willing to follow me to this land, but I must take your son back to the land from which you came. But Abraham said to him, beware that you do not take my son back there. The Lord God of heaven, who took me from my father's house and from the land of my family, and who spoke to me and swore to me, saying, to your descendants I give this land, he will send his angel before you, and you shall take a wife for my son from there. We see Isaac made provision, or Abraham made provision here for Isaac. He realized the importance and his fatherly role to see to it that Isaac entered into this same institution with someone that was fitting, someone that would protect their faithful way of life. So he goes back to his own people to get them there. We see many today that go out into the world and they choose mates according to the world. And we have to admit that when we do this, that we take on the possibilities of trials, tribulations, and we bring a lot more things into play. We bring oftentimes many difficulties upon ourselves when we do that. Abraham realized the importance of not doing that, and he arranged that his son would have a wife from his own family. A good father will do that. He will seek to protect his family, won't he? Brings back Ephesians 6:4 that we mentioned earlier, not to provoke our children to wrath, but to bring them up in the nurture and the admonition. We need to be training them in these ways. Having our young men think of the future, think of their service to God, make their choices in mate, make their choices in jobs, make their choices in their lives to fulfill their responsibilities to God and to serve Him, and not by any other standard. The Bible says that we're to nurture our children. We're to grow them, help them, teach them, train them, encourage them to structure their families as God has set in order and has set structure. And respect that. Let's look at God. The Father also is our great protector. We can certainly make a good application to that, can't we? Psalms 84, verse 11. I've got a couple of verses here. It says, for Jehovah God, He is a sun and a shield. Jehovah will give grace and glory. No good thing will He withhold from them that walk uprightly. That's what a good father does, don't he? He doesn't withhold, provided that we walk upright. He will get us what we need. That's not implying that we lavishly bathe our children with excess to the point that we guide them into destruction. but we see to it that they have everything spiritually that they need to equip themselves for success in this world for an eternity. That's all part of it. It's so important. Proverbs 30 and verse 5. Every word of God is tried. He is a shield unto them that take refuge in Him. He's our shield, isn't He? He sets these things in order. He sets marriage. He sets the church. Everything of His structure is based on the building block of that very first thing, the man and the wife. And everything builds off that. His way will work. When we chisel away and allow the foundations to crumble in the marriage, that's when all the structure above it begins to crumble with it. Because it's built on that. A good father will protect his own. He will take that son and he will give these things to them. He will instruct his children, his daughters, of submittance, of the importance of the structure that God has there for a reason and how it supports the church and everything up to God, and will set them up for success. A good father protects his own. Another area that we'll look at with Abraham was his providing. Some fathers today fail to be providers, don't they? I thought Donnie did a real good job with that this morning. It is our responsibility to be providers as the Father. We can't get around that. That's God's given responsibility to us as men. Many today forsake those things. They work, but many times they use their provision or their money for selfish things. Some fail to work at all, not providing for their children at all, and the civil authorities have to step in to make something that's decent and moral be done. Some even rob the system or rob their children by using children as a means of gain through assistance in the government. We see a lot of that in the world today, and destructive cycles that they fall into. We are the provider. And we need to understand that is our responsibility. The wife's responsibility is to keep the home. She has her responsibilities. When we as husbands allow our wives to step out of the home and into the workforce, we need to understand and be prepared to handle the problems, the trials and the tribulations that come along with that. Just as Donnie mentioned this morning, that does not relieve her of her responsibilities just because she's a provider too. That's still there. Everything is still there as God structured it. It has put added weight on her. Now, out of love, we as fathers and husbands should help pick up the weight for that. But we need to keep very clear in our mind of what God's structure is and what His intents are, and be able to separate that from making allowances and helping when we're outside of that. You can understand why a lot of the trouble comes into the world today. When God had it set up as the man is the provider, the woman is the home, to keep the home. When they both become providers, now we have a challenge, don't we? I provide too. You need to do this. We get into these issues of life now. Who's going to divide up? Who's going to be the head? And it starts a destructive cycle of bickering and struggling over authority and over the say in the family. We as husbands, if we see that coming into our families because our wives are working, we as the head need to take the responsibility and see to it that that wife comes home and fulfills her godly responsibilities first. That's our job. We will be held accountable for that because we run our households. I know many of us have had wives at work. Tammy worked. But we have to monitor and realize, never forget, our responsibilities are still there to God. Those are unchanged. That is in addition to what you do. And if it causes a problem, the man as the head needs to step in, take control of that, and put his family in an order that God has demanded it be in and acceptable to Him. Abraham was a great provider. We see that he had no problems with that. He was, if you look at Genesis 13:2, you see that he was a very wealthy man, I'd say. He was very rich in livestock, it's told there. He was in silver and he was in gold. So he was a wealthy man, able to provide for his family. We don't know what his daily regimen was in his life. But I feel confident to say that a man with great riches, a man with great livestock, he had 300 and some men alone that he went after Lot with that were trained. He had a large family, a large group. This demanded a lot of time, a lot of oversight, a lot of work. He had a lot to do, and we see that he faithfully made sure his priorities were right in keeping his family faithful to God. Even with all this wealth that no doubt demanded a lot of his attention, he kept his priorities straight, didn't he? He maintained this wealth throughout his whole life, as far as we know. He did it through hard work, through good business practices, and through a family that God designed, set up as God would have it to be. A good father will always provide for his children. 1 Timothy 5:8 tells us there, "But if any provide not for his own, and especially for those of his own house, he hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel." We see here that God demands that we provide for our families. It's not, we're not given a choice in that matter. We are to provide for them in all manners. The book of Proverbs is a good book that we could spend a whole lot of time in. We won't for time's sake tonight. But it's just full of good advice from the father to the son. We would be time well spent to spend our time in Proverbs refreshing our memories and remembering that we, the good father, provides for his family, not only in the physical manner, but always be thinking of the spiritual manner too. That's our priority in provision. The good father understands that he must bring his children up in the Lord's ways. That's what's going to prepare them for their eternity. That's what really I often think about the children, and it plucks at my heartstrings, because what we bring into the world brings with it so much responsibility to us. I mean, it's very heavy in weight when we think about that, because that's an eternity. That's a soul that will be in a blissful existence with its Creator for an eternity, or doomed to hell for disobedience. And it should really wake us up and shock our conscience that the importance that we need as fathers to bring these children up and to see to it that their spiritual growth is there. Let us finish up by considering the God is our great provider. We could speak for weeks on this, couldn't we? The provision that our God gives us in His Word, all that He's laid out for us. Acts 14:7 says, "Nevertheless, He left not Himself without witness, in that He did good, and He gave us rain from heaven, unfruitful seasons, filling our hearts with food and gladness." God has always been a God that's provided for us materially, hasn't He? 1 Timothy 6:17 says that God gives us all things to enjoy. I'm like Ray, I really am drawn back a lot of times to the Sermon on the Mount and to those scriptures that surround that. We're reminded there in Matthew 6:33 that as long as God is our goal, if He's first in our life, if He's our priority and we work toward Him, He will see to it that we're taken care of. We don't have faith in that matter a lot of times to the measure that we should have. When we rob our families from jobs that take us away from our children, we're not exhibiting the faith that we should to know that God's going to provide for us as long as we work toward Him. He will provide for us. We need to be with our children and raising them. Our children are meant to be raised in a family with a husband and a wife. Talked this morning much about even the definition of the family and how it's under attack today in the world. But God's very clear about what His definition is. In conclusion, Abraham was a good father because he was present. He was always with his family. He was protective of them, and he provided for them. A good father is a faithful follower, or a faithful father. He's a follower of the Lord. He's faithful to the Lord. He will see to it that his family's forgive or provided for spiritually. Abraham was faithful to God even to the point, if you think about it, his willingness to even sacrifice his own son. We remember the Lord's Supper every Sunday, every first day of the week. And we bring back to the front of our minds the huge price that was paid for our salvation and that God's own Son was given. Abraham was a great father to the point. His faith was in his God to the point he was willing to sacrifice his own son, Isaac. Many of the times, the things that we are expected to do in our families may not seem right to us. They may seem wrong. Just as Isaac and Abraham. Abraham may have not have seen the reasoning behind giving his own son. But he followed in faith. He followed the instructions given by God in faith, and he did as he told him to do. That's what we have to do with marriage. That's what we have to do as fathers. We need to dismiss the things the world wants to give us, the easy way out. We are to be there. We are to be looking out for our children. We are to be providing. We are to be doing all these things as God would have us to do. More than anything, the children need to see the example. We have Abraham today as an example by the pen of the inspired writers. I'm thankful for that. That's what the children are going to look for in our families too, is an example. It's one thing to teach. It's another thing to train. But example is what they look at. They see how we live. Without that example, they're very likely, percentage is very high, that they'll turn their back on God and they'll live their lives as they've seen example of in the family. If the fathers have not ran their homes, if they've surrendered the head of the home, if they've ran it a different way, they will grow up in that atmosphere, and the atmosphere that they're raised in today will be the atmosphere that you'll find them in when they become of age as well. We need to set the proper examples as fathers. Faithfulness. We need to run our families in a way that God is glorified. And really, we apply that to anything and everything we do. Is what we're doing, is our conduct, is everything about us glorifying God? That's a good rule of thumb to go by. Isn't it? Are we glorifying Him as a father? We can't run away from our obligations as we see today in the family. We're married for life, and that's what I would tell the young men. Marriage is for life. You're a parent for life. And those are two things that God requires till the day you breathe your last breath. We need to keep those things in our mind, the importance of them, the gravity of them. When things don't seem able to work out, we better hit our knees and pray. We better dig into God's Word, and we better make them work, because that's what we'll be held accountable for. It's God's plan, and it will work. If you're here tonight and you've never accepted Christ as your Savior, We've not talked a lot about salvation. We've not talked a lot about what we need to do to be saved. But we've talked about a lot of the structure that God has put in place for us. He's always provided us. He's given us His Word. We now have everything we need, 2 Timothy 3:16. Everything we need is here. He's left us wanting for nothing. His Word is very clear to us. If you're here and you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and that He came to earth, that He lived His life as we know He did, that He was the example that He was, the perfect example, the instruction that He gave us, if you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and you're willing to confess that before men, repent from the way you live now, and be aware that you're taking on a life of servitude to Him. But it's an easy yoke. It's a yoke that's full of hope. It's full of peace. It's full of contentment. Happiness is here with Him. That's what He offers you. We have the provision to baptize you tonight, to wash away your sins. At that time, you're in an acceptable state to spend an eternity with your Father. Fathers, that's where we need to see our children end up. And we need to nourish them through life. If you're here and we can help you in any way, we ask you to make your way forward as we stand and as we sing. Ooh, that's my Lord.